The 23rd chapter of Leviticus, as we've indicated, is a remarkable chapter. And what we have here are the holy holidays. They're solemn festivals. They were times of joy, not fasting. Only one of them were they to even mourn. And God never wanted his people to come before him weeping. He wanted them to come before him rejoicing. Come before the Lord with rejoicing. And in it, though, you have here God's calendar for all time. Dr. Lang gives the meaning of these so-called feasts as a fixed appointed time. It's translated as set time. And I think holy seasons might be the most appropriate translation. Now, the very interesting thing is that most of these feasts are given elsewhere in Scripture in detail, but here they're given in an orderly and purposeful manner. Now, there are seven feasts, excluding the Sabbath day. That's given first, and it actually is not a feast day. The Sabbath day was not included, but it was the yardstick for measuring time. It was the yardstick that God used for all of these feasts and for measuring time for them. And it's prominent in this chapter here, just as it is in the book of Revelation. It is a dimension of time. The Sabbath day here, the seventh day. There are seven feasts. Pentecost is the feast of the seventh week, the seventh new moon with its following day of atonement. And the Feast of Tabernacles is the feast of the seventh month. In fact, several feasts in that month. In the 25th chapter, we're going to have occasion to consider the sabbatic year and the year of Jubilee, all adjusted to the number seven. There are 7 days of unleavened bread, 7 days that they were dwelling in tabernacles, in the Feast of Tabernacles. So you can see the importance here of the number seven in this section. It's a unit of a measurement of time. Now, these are days in which a holy convocation was called, and they came to Jerusalem. That was the place that was settled upon later. And it has actually a twofold purpose. It had a practical purpose and a prophetic purpose. Now, on the practical plane, these people came together in both a social and a commercial way. For instance, they brought all the 12 tribes together in worship after they were divided in the land and then later on scattered throughout the Roman Empire. They had come in on three of the feasts. All males were required to come on Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles, as we shall see later. Now, you can see what this would do for the people. It had a tendency to unite the nation, knit the tribes together. They could socialize together, get others' viewpoint. You find that the omission of following these instructions was really one of the contributing factors to the dividing of the nation into the northern and southern kingdoms. And it certainly had something to do with them being scattered in slavery throughout the Roman Empire. Now, commercially, the coming together of the people from different sections led to barter and trade. This man says, you know, I need a good plow, or I need some instrument, or some woman would say, I'd like to have some container for the kitchen. Well, this led to barter and trade, because a neighbor would say, I'll bring it down to you next year when we come down, or at the next feast day. And they could exchange ideas as well as merchandise. This was something that worked out, you see, in the nation. Now, most of these feasts were geared into the agricultural life of the land, especially, I think, the harvesting of the crops. And this was especially true of the Feast of First Fruits, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. You see, this brought the worship of Jehovah down to the grain field, the vineyard, and the fig orchard. And praise to God was united with the work of the people. And I tell you, the sweat of their brow became a sacred sort of thing. Now, the primary purpose of these feast days was to give a prophetic picture of all time for the future. each one of these feast days, as we shall see, has found its fulfillment, or will find its fulfillment, in some great event. We're going to see that. Most of them have been fulfilled. And we'll find that all the way through. That'll be true. Now, let me mention these. We have, first of all, the Sabbath in the first three verses. Then you have the Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, great day of atonement, and tabernacle. All of these are the seven feasts.